This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, it is coming up to 5:19. That was The Strokes with Heart to Explain, which kind of sums up in some ways the story that we're talking about this first half hour, which is looking at the fines that are meted out for breaching the MCO SOPs, which when they first came out, I think people were already concerned that they were somewhat high in nature. And now we are seeing how that's playing out. Recently, a burger seller in Kelantan was fined 50,000 ringgit for violating the MCO SOPs, including essentially operating past 10 p.m. That's more or less it. We've also subsequently seen people like, for example, Nilofa and her family collectively receiving a fine of 60,000 ringgit for SOPs that for breaching SOPs and in a much more publicized way. I think that's the other thing. So we've been asking you for your thoughts. We have some messages.
So Jimny Lim says, I agree with both of you. It's expensive to be poor. It seems like it's a sin to be poor. And I think that gets to the heart of this, right? Because this 50,000 ringgit fine is coming at a time when we've already spent so much time talking about how our small business owners are struggling and how difficult it's been to keep afloat over the last year. And to hear this happening now, in comparison to someone for whom this isn't a problem, the difference has become very stark.
Well, that's what we have posting. Not surprising. It's all about how many people you know, how powerful you are. Poor burger seller. The best part is that ironically, Nilofa wanted to pay the fine for this, which shows in some ways that 50K is seriously just small change.
Yes. And as much as it might on the surface seem like it's a nice thing to want to pay that for him, it's the larger issue of the unfairness of different people being treated differently. And while this isn't something that we're unfamiliar with here in Malaysia, I think right now it feels particularly unfair to see it being played out.
MZ, meanwhile, says, Judge Dredd said it best, I am the law. The double standard practice comes because we now have authorities who are enforcers, judges, executioners, all in one. And I think this is something that we definitely want to explore a little bit more, MZ, because we spoke yesterday, actually, ironically enough, about the need for the IPCMC, for instance. And this is different but related, because I think the question here is individual discretion. So when you look at an amount like 10,000 or 50,000, these are in some ways life-destroying amounts, as we can see, right? For some people, it really amounts to that. And so for this to be down to individual discretion to mete out, I think is problematic.
And individual discretion is really tough, because what are they basing this on? And this was something that was brought up even from the start. What are the criteria for that fine and a range of fines? What do you have to do to get what? This still isn't particularly clear. And this case kind of proves that. We have Nishakaran saying, perhaps the right mindset is how we can increase our darjat.
So that's something that I think we can address a little bit later, because we now have on the line with us constitutional lawyer Nizam Bashe. Nizam, thanks so much for joining us.
Not a problem. Always a pleasure.
Thank you. So to start off, let's talk about the 50,000 ringgit amount, right? So how did that come about, given that the current maximum amount is 10,000 ringgit for violations?
There was actually an amendment to the original Act. So if you look at the Emergency Prevention and Control of Infectious Disease Amendment Ordinance, Section 25 provides a compound amount of 50,000, but that's only where it relates to a body corporate. So I think there must have been some confusion on the part of the officer who was trying to mete out the compound in question, because the person who is involved or affected by the compound is an individual and not a company. So the amount... The amount should rightly be 10,000, and that's at the maximum end of it.
Right. So how much discretion do officers have when it comes to determining the amount of this fine?
Well, yes, there is some amount of discretion conveyed to them under the law, but the discretion must still be exercised reasonably according to appropriate factors. So, for example, if this is a first-time offender and you're imposing a compound of 10,000, which is at the higher end of the compound amount, that does not make sense at all. So in this particular instance, it's even worse because they took into account a compound figure, which is for a company and not for an individual. So certainly the discretion here has been exercised wrongly.
With that said, then, should there be clearer guidelines for officers issuing fines to ensure that they are handed out on fairer terms?
I think that always helps because whenever there are clearer guidelines, there's less chance of the discretion, I suppose, being exercised in a way that's not appropriate, as is the case here. So you have individuals who are merely trying not even to do business beyond the relevant business hour, but merely cleaning up or even trying to prepare for some other business for the next day, facing compounds of this figure. I think during times like this, it's absolutely horrendous that they're subjected to something like this.
On that note, then, that maximum amount of 10,000 ringgit, is that reasonable in the first place?
In my view, no. As I said, if I were to look at the materials as reported or as contained in the relevant media, it seems as if this was sort of a one-off situation. It's not like he was a regular offender as such. So when you have individuals who are not regular offenders committing an offence, that is something that must be taken into account when the officer in question is exercising their discretion as to compounding the offence in question. Yeah. And I think what's also important is beyond the frequency of the offence, I think we need to take into account that times are hard for everyone, and when that is taken into account, coupled with the fact that maybe the offender is not someone who does it frequently, I think it should be something on the lower end of the compound figure that is possible to be imposed on the individual. I'm not trying to diminish the importance of ensuring that we manage our pandemic situation in the country. But I think we also need to take into account the difficulties that the people are facing at the same time.
So right now, the burger seller in question is appealing for a reduction of his fine. What does that process involve? Are applicants typically successful?
Well, when a letter of appeal is sent in, ordinarily you would set out some compelling ground as to why the fine should be reduced. Yeah. And it can be something as simple as, this is the first time I'm committing this offence. I wasn't actually even committing the offence that I'm being accused of. For example, if it's merely cleaning up the stall at that point in time, certainly he shouldn't even be facing any compound by the officer. And it can be a whole range of matters that can be set out in the letter. And in terms of whether the person making the appeal will be successful or not, I think it depends on the material that he puts forward to the relevant officer who's looking at the letter.
Now, Nizam, you've been helping clients facing similar sorts of situations pro bono. What are some of the situations you've come across?
I suppose, but on those occasions where a lawyer is called to sort of step in, there probably would have been something that went awry in terms of the process that the so-called offender was is being accused of, and that can be in terms even of whether he committed the offence in question, or whether it was appropriate for the fine, the figure or the quantum of the fine being imposed to the person in question. And it can be many things. It can be many things. And I do find it quite odd that this sort of quirks do happen in the first place, because you would have thought in the first place there would have been some training being given to the officers before they are sent out, I suppose, looking for persons to issue compound notices to. But I suppose errors do happen.
Nizam, we just have about a minute left with you. We do have a question from Sulaiman, who wants to know, is it feasible for a clause to determine the fines based on income? Would this be possible to enforce or implement?
I think that's not too bad of an idea. But by the same token, as I mentioned earlier, my only concern is we are similarly trying to manage a pandemic, right? So I think as a starting point, that's something that we can look at. But we need to also consider whether the person is a frequent offender or not. And if the person is not a frequent offender, I really think it's deplorable that, you know, individuals are facing the maximum end of a compound whenever they are being accused of committing an offence.
Nizam, thank you so much for speaking with us today.
No problem. My pleasure.
That was constitutional lawyer Nizam Bashir weighing in on fines for violating MCO SOPs, as we are seeing some in the amounts of 50,000 ringgit being issued. And we want to know what you make of all this. And if you have any thoughts, you can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Here are the main stories at 5:30 p.m. Malaysia has recorded 3,142 new COVID cases.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.